Such an honor for me to be here with you all. It's a great pleasure for us to be here in the Philippines and being able to share this morning. I would like to continue our introductions. If you don't mind, I want to get a bit closer to you guys. I feel so distant. We are Brazilians, you know. We like body heat, you know, from people. So, yeah, we hug. We love hugs and kisses, even, like, on the cheek, of course, apart from your wife. But I want to introduce my family a little bit more. I'm Marcio. I'm from Brazil. My wife, as Janet said very well, is Amber. She's over there for those who can look to your right. And she is from Australia. She's from the other side of the world. What I like, I also, just saying that, I would like to encourage the single people here in this room. You know, God brought me, fat like this, ugly like this. He brought me a beautiful lady from the other side of the world. So, have faith. You know, God can do it. Like, be encouraged by that. So, we met in Argentina. We got married in Scotland. Our first son, Joshua, was born in Malaysia. Our second son was born in the most beautiful country in the world, Brazil. And now we are in the Philippines. Perhaps if you have more time in the other days and the other opportunities that we have to share with you guys, we're going to be sharing a little bit more about what we have done in these places. But today I would like to talk a little bit about God's calling. And mainly, like, I use the life of Moses because I think it summarizes very well, like, all the other elements that we see in God's calling in other people in the Bible that we can read too. And when we think about Moses, what do you think? What are the things that comes to your mind? Think about Moses. What comes to your mind? Come on, help me out here. We're preaching together. Moses, what is that? Leader. What else? The things that happened in Moses' life. Burning bush. That's it. Okay, more. Red Sea. Most people always reply Red Sea. I was like amazed. I said, come on, Red Sea. Anything else? Moses. Huh? Egypt. Ten Commandments. He was the guy who received the Ten Commandments straight from God. Oh, so many things. He was the one who faced the most powerful person in the whole world in that time. That's Moses. So many things like that happened. The plagues, he would see like bread coming out, like provision from God coming out from the sky. Moses. Moses was such an amazing person that he became a soap opera there in Brazil. They make like a soap opera, do you know, like a TV series in Brazil. Because he has so many stories to say about Moses' life. Moses was the man. And so many times we remember about the life of Moses and see so amazing things that happened to his life. And everything that happened to his life happened after this point where he met God. But so many times we are very quick to remember everything that happened in Moses' life from this point onwards. And we forget what happened to Moses' life before that. What happened to Moses' life before that? Even in the time that he was born, he was supposed to be killed. Pharaoh was jealous about the Israelites, so like he made a commandment that it would kill all the firstborn sons, all the sons of Israel. So he was a boy, so he was supposed to be killed. And those who were supposed to kill him would be the midwives. So as soon as the baby would come out, he was supposed to kill them. Also, he survived that. The midwife that was there didn't kill him. There was like soldiers around. Even the passage says in Exodus 2 that his mom couldn't hide him anymore. Hide for whom? Probably there were soldiers going around and looking for the boys, Israelites, to kill them. So the soldiers didn't find him. So he survived the midwives, he survived the soldiers, and also he survived his own mom. They had a brilliant idea of protecting his son. I can imagine, if I could, you know, if you could, like, imagine how would be the mind of the baby. Do you know, like, the TV movies that you see, that the baby has a voice, you can see what's happening in the baby's mind? And I can imagine Moses as a baby. Man, I'm dragging this and I don't have much time. Okay. And so the baby Moses was there and he said, like, oh no, what is happening here? Someone is going to kill me. Oh, they're dead. The soldiers can come here. And then mom comes and said, like, don't worry, my son. I will protect you. Who here, like, have kids? And who of you, if you have to protect your kid, you say, like, don't worry, my kid, I will protect you. I will put you in a little basket, and I am going to put you down the river. And I can imagine baby Moses say, like, what? Are you crazy? How come? Like, this is a crazy idea. No, mommy, wow, this cannot be possible. But there she goes, she's like, oh, mommy, I hope you are right, mommy, and go down the river. So he survived his mom. He survived the midwife, the soldiers, his mom. And then when the baby said, like, I hope there is no waterfall in this river here, and going down the river, there he goes. And all of a sudden, someone picked him up, and I imagine him sleeping. And all of a sudden, he wake, open his eyes, and who is there holding him? He said, like, finally, no waterfall, someone caught me. And who was the one who caught him? The daughter of that one that said to kill all the boys, including him, and said that she recognized that he was the son of an Israelite. So he survived the daughter of Pharaoh. So he survived so many times. And these are the things that sometimes we forget. And why did he survive so many times? After he killed another Egyptian, that for sure if you get caught, he'll probably be killed too. So he survived again. Why did he survive? And perhaps, why did you survive so many things in your life? Because God has a plan for you. God hasn't finished with your life yet. As he hasn't with Moses. He had something to do in Moses' life. So Moses needed to survive all these things so the will of God be established in his life and for the people of God through his life. And perhaps you are here, perhaps, like, take a deep breath with me. If you'll be able to do that this morning, it means that God still has something for your life. God hasn't done what he has to do for your life yet. Because if you couldn't do that, be sure that his will was done in your life. So this is one of the things that I want to share with you. Another thing that I want to share is, like, the beginning of this passage that says, when God met Moses, what was he doing? He was attending the sheep of his father-in-law. What was he doing? Something that was like a routine to him. Something that was what he probably would have done every day in his life. So this is what can we learn from here, that God shows up in our lives in times of routine. Perhaps you thought, like, what you're supposed to do on Thursday mornings. What are you supposed to do on Thursday morning around 11 o'clock? You have to come and attend the chapel. And these are the times that God likes to use to reveal and to meet us again. And perhaps this morning is the time that God wants to meet with you again. Another thing that we see here, that like the Bible makes sure to say that he was not just attending the flock of his father-in-law. It makes sure to tell who this father-in-law was. He was a priest in Midian. So what was he doing? He was not just attending any flock. He was attending the flock of an idolater priest. So he was doing the time that God revealed himself to Moses. He was doing something that didn't even look like something that from God. And so many of us, we feel unworthy for God to reveal himself to you. Perhaps you are in the ministry. Perhaps you have been studying for a very long time, even about God's word. And still you feel unworthy of receiving the touch of God, the calling of God, for God to reveal himself to you. And perhaps like Moses, you are the person that God wants to reveal himself to you. I remember myself when God called me. This was a true story for me. I was in Brazil. And I would go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday I would go to church. But what happened between one service and the other, I'm very shameful. I'm very ashamed to share with you. I would go to parties every night. And it would arrive like every night at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I would wake up and I would work at 8 o'clock and I would start work and would work hard and make my money. But just to end the day and I'll go to another party, another club, enjoying like alcohol, drugs, and other things. And I would come to the Sunday service and I'll be very scared. I'll be very scared. Because, you know, I would pretend that to be a good Christian. I would make a Christian that not even nowadays I can make. In Brazil, the Christians in Brazil, the evangelical Christians, they have, like most people, they would greet you with the grace and peace of God. And I would go to the party at 5 o'clock, and I would arrive in the church 9 o'clock, and here I was, and I would greet you with the grace and peace of God that was, wow, melting your heart. I would say, grace and peace of God. And then say, like, oh, to you too, praise the Lord. I would act as a good Christian, but I know that I was far from God, far from what God intended for me to be, and I was so scared. My nightmares would be to be in the church, I always sit in the back, and someone come like a prophet, you know, would receive a word of wisdom, and come say like, yeah, you fatty, I know what you are doing. You have been going out every night, and now you are here. Shame on you. And I'm like, then I would wake up, you know, all sweaty and say like, oh no, what is happening? Like in my mind, there was always a prophet or a missionary that would come and say these words. And I know that was far from God. So when I would ask God, say, God, please help me. I'm liking too much this life. I don't want this for me. Help me to say no to these things. And God told me once, like, when missionaries come to your house, I'm going to give you power to say no to all of this. And I forgot and said, like, woohoo, so until the missionaries come, let's enjoy life, you know, let's continue, party on, you know. And I forgot. But I was very scared of missionaries too, because I thought that it was like very prophetic and it would kind of reveal what happened, what's happening in my life. And then my brother came, and probably I'll just stay in this point for the rest of the devotional too. And then my brother came once. He was very strong in the church and said, like, do you know, there in the church today, they say that, like, you're going to receive a group of missionaries. And they're asking for people to receive missionaries in their house. And he didn't even ask my parents. He just informed them. Said, like, and I told them that we can receive 2 missionaries here in our house. And in that time, I was frightened to death. And I say, like, no, I know how to be a good Christian on Sunday. Now these missionaries are going to sleep in my house. I'm going to be a good Christian from Monday to Sunday. That's going to be terrible. Told my friends, like, please don't call me. Like, make sure that you don't call me. Don't call me. Like, what for? Say, don't come. Forget about me. So when I was trying to be like these missionaries came, I forgot what God had promised to my life. I was just frightened that they were going to discover what happened, what I was doing. And then I would try to be a good Christian. So I would stay like there. Their room would be like there. And I would be kind of in front, like on the table, and have my Bible open. But I was looking. I was not looking at the Bible. I was looking at the door, if the door would open. So when the door opened, I would look, oh, glory. Oh, Lord. You know, I want to make a great Christian. I was trying to make an impression of a good Christian. And then we went, and one of the missionaries was praying, and she said, like, do you know what I was praying about you? I said, like, no, what is happening here? And she said, do you know when God gave me a word about you? And I said, like, oh, that's it. It's now the nightmare becoming truth. It's going to happen. Oh, no, God. And she said, like, God has a call you to the nations. And I started laughing inside myself with a relief. She hasn't found out. But in the same time, like, she doesn't know anything that she's talking about. She doesn't know what life I'm living. And it was after that week that God gave me power to say no to all these things. Because I discovered that anything that the world could give me is nothing compared with the dreams, with the calling, with the purpose and plans of God for my life. In that time, I only had been to our neighboring country driving to buy stuff that would be cheaper there than Brazil, Paraguay. And God has a calling for the nations when I was very far from God. And now I can say, not because of me, but what God has done in my life, we've been over 33 countries in the world already. In the time that I thought that I was doing something that God would never call me. But that was the place that God has called me. That's the place that God has called Moses. In the sequence of this, it says that the angel appeared to him. What you can learn from that is that the calling of God is initiated by God. It was not Moses who was trying to look. God, choose me. Please, God. Oh, sometimes in the church, we want to see like who raised the hand higher for God to choose. Who can sing louder? Who can pray louder? Who can pray nicer? But it's not about us. It's not about what we do. Because the calling of God is initiated by God. It was the angel that was the God himself that appeared to Moses. Because the God, the mission, the will belongs to God. Who calls is God. Who gives purpose in our life is God. Who has plans, dreams, a future for you is God. Not even yourself you're able to build a better dream, a better plan for your life than what is in the mind of God for you. God has amazing things for your life and he is the one who initiates that. Then he says that like Moses, he saw something. He saw something. And it's amazing because like we can learn that the calling of God is unquestionable. God has been showing himself around the world through creation, through so many things that he has been doing. And I have so many people come to me and say, hey, Pastor Marcio, I don't know what God is doing in my life. I'm praying so hard. I'm fasting for so long. And like nothing happens to my life. God is doing nothing in my life. How many of you think that God is doing nothing in your life? But this is just your thought. Because God is doing something. All the time. He's working all the time. The question is, who is like Moses, who is seeing it? Who is looking at it intentionally to see what God is doing? Because he is doing something. Who is looking at it? And also another thing, because we need to look at. We need to start seeing it intentionally. Because when you ask God, show me your will, What you want is a big tree in front of you, like on fire, not being consumed, but in front of you, a big tree. And you know, God doesn't work like that. God works in a burning bush, a small thing, and it's something that's here because he saw. It was not in front of him. In the Brazilian Bible, it says like he had to look at it. In other versions, we see that you have to look at it. So it's something that happens here. You're looking for a big tree here, and God works in that burning bush here. That he, you have to see. You have to look at it. And so many times, we see something. We didn't see. God is doing something here, and I'm amazed. And I say like, wow, I think God's in this place. Look, I can feel, there is something here. I can see in my peripheral vision. I can see that God is doing something around here. Oh, this is so awesome, doing something. Oh, look, what is amazing, what God is doing in this place. But nobody wants to actually look at it. To see what God is actually doing. And we need to see, we need to look at these things. So many times we are satisfied with a feeling, with a touch from God, with a maybe it is God is doing something here. So many times we are satisfied with crumbs and God has a banquet prepared for us. But you need to look, to start seeing what God is actually doing. My brother here said, oh, this is amazing. Let's look at the amazing thing that God is doing. And then he says, I don't have time to explain much about that. This kind of, So then he says, like, I will go over there and see these strange or amazing things. And that's amazing because, like, when you, that's the calling of God for our lives. And perhaps that's why you don't want to actually look at it. Why you don't want to see it. Because if you see it, it's going to make you move. I will go over there. The calling of God, the plans of God for your life is irresistible. It's irresistible. If you look at it, it's going to attract you. It's going to make you to come closer to Him. And why many times we are so satisfied just to know that God has something for my life and we don't move forward? Because if I move forward towards what God has for my life, what I'm turning my back to? To the things that I'm used to do. I'm going to look at that. I'm turning my back to the flock. To my worries. What I get my praises every night. Say like, oh, well done. You didn't lose any sheep. Amazing. Well done. This is sometimes the will of God, the calling of God is bring us closer and we're going to turn our backs. To respond to the calling of God is going to cost you something. Perhaps everything. But I want to tell you, it's worthy. It's the best thing that you have to do in your life. I don't know what God is telling you to sacrifice to follow His will, His plans for your life. But I have to tell you that's worthy. And it's amazing because the continuation said that God saw that he was going over. God saw that he was turning from the flock to follow his will. God sees your sacrifice. God sees, he doesn't see that when Moses just saw it. The Bible says like God saw when he turned, when he was going over towards the burning bush. God sees you. He sees you. Those who go, who turn the back, who sacrifice for something to go towards God, call God's attention. And the Bible is very clear that He rewards those who seek Him diligently. And then says the Bible, say like, call to him within the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. Another thing that we learn about the calling of God, that the calling of God is personal. It's for you. God has something for your life. None of us can boast and say that we have better calling than anybody else. No better can boast to say like I represent God better than anybody else because God decided to share His image amongst all of us. So each one of us, we carry part of the image of God, what makes us together more beautiful, more powerful. God has something for your life. And I believe that He says here twice for two reasons. The first is to show God's affection. Moses, Moses. I've never heard anyone sharing this word, but that's the way that we believe, I think. That sometimes we want to hear God's calling to our lives the same way that our mom calls us. And sometimes she repeats twice to say, Marcio, Marcio, John, John. We want God to force us to do something. And God is actually inviting us to something. Moses, Moses, lean, lean. John, John. Another thing that He calls like twice for you to make sure that's you. Even right now, I believe that people here think like, this is a great word for my friend. Not for you. Because all of this that we talked about, you think that you are not worthy. It cannot be for you. But He calls you twice by your name. Because He knows the number of hairs in your head. He knows everything about you. He was the one who created you. He was the one who thought about you even before your mother's womb. He thought about you, how we're going to make you the same way, because He has something to do with you the same way you are. And if God, if this is really true, why are we trying so hard to copy other people? If God has something for your life, why are you trying to copy other people? Oh, God has something for your life. And then He says here that He replied to God and say like, okay, God, here I am. So far, you might think that I'm a Calvinist. Because God has something for your life and He's going to make it happen. But this is the truth. That God, He reveals Himself even though when we don't expect. When you look at it, it attracts us to get closer to God's calling. When you're God's calling, we're close to God, then we're able to listen to His voice calling us by our name. And perhaps you have been called. God has called your name twice, perhaps before. But what happened to your life? How much have you been following what God has for your life? And perhaps because you have been also hearing other people calling your name. Saying everything that you don't do well. Instead of you looking to what God has for your life, perhaps you start looking at what other people thought that you could have done or could do or not do. But have to look and go back to the voice of God. To remember that day that He has called you. And even to that point, you can just say to God, ah, nah, not for me. For somebody else. The calling of God is irresistible. Irresistibly resistible. You can get to this point so far in intimacy with God and you say, not for me. And I want to finish saying, and you know very well this story, that the doubts and fears that Moses had, he would ask God, who am I? What are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? What if others don't believe me? I don't know how to speak. Perhaps you don't want to respond to God's call because you have the same doubts and fears. And what are you doing? What do you want to do? You don't want to have any fears? You don't want to have any doubts in your life? continue doing what you are doing. Continue doing what you think you can do. But doubts and fears follow those who want to do what God wants to do. Because His plans are higher than our plans. And I want you to stand up with me and just respond to the Lord. I don't know who you are in His calling. That you close your eyes, you bow your head. Where you are? In which stage of this calling of God are you? I don't know. But God knows. And He wants you to do, give one more step towards His calling. If it is to see, to actually look at it and see what God really has for your life. If it is to get closer to the calling of God for your life. If it is to listen to His voice. That means that you're going to have to block the other voices that is talking into your lives. Perhaps your will is just to say, here I am, God. Once more, I want to tell you, God, here I am. Unworthy, but here I am. Use me according to your will, not to mine will, but according to your will. And I want to minister into your life what God replied to Moses. And perhaps the same thing that you want to talk to God to. With your eyes closed, that you pay attention to what God has for you as He spoke to Moses. I'll certainly be with you, and you will worship me in this mountain. I am who I am. The I am calls you. What is that in your hand? I have given you the tools that you need already. Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Or who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is not I the Lord? Now go, and I will help you to speak, and will teach you what to say. God gave Moses a second chance to live in His purpose. God took a murderer to become His prophet. God took a fugitive, slow in speech and tongue, to become His spokesperson. God is willing to take you to live everything He created you to be. If you look, if you turn, if you come, and if you respond to Him. God bless you. I would like to call forth the seminary singers, and I pray that God will minister, continue to minister in your life through this song too.